Welcome to Under the Fig Tree podcast with hosts Reverend Dr. Ben Haupt and Reverend Micah Glenn. In today's episode, Ben and Micah catch up after a busy summer as they meditate under the fig tree.
What's up, what's up, what's up, and welcome back once again to another episode of Under the Fig Tree. In fact, this is the first episode of season two. So once again, welcome back to people who have listened to us before, and welcome to people who might be joining us for the first time. I'm your host, Reverend Micah Glenn, the Director of Recruitment here at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And of course, I'm joined by my esteemed colleague and co-host, Reverend Dr. Ben Haupt. How are you, bro?
Good, good. Great to be on the podcast again. It's fun to be back in this back in the swing. We took a little summer off, and we did a few things around here, but it's good to be back. It feels good.
We did, in fact, take the summer off. You know, in our planning of doing this, you know, you get together and you say, oh, let's do a podcast. What does that mean? And there are some people with a long endurance that can do this daily or weekly, and they just keep going and going and going. But, I mean, for us, you know, you would think at a educational institution that a summer break is a summer break. But for our work, the summer isn't so much of a break, but more of a time to get busy. We have visitation events. We have people who are available to come to our campus. And then we have to plan for the start of the next academic term. So for the summer, for us, like if I'm being honest, if we were going to sit down and record podcast episodes, it would have been like midnight, probably.
Right.
Something crazy on a weekly basis. But nonetheless, we're happy to be back. Summer was great. We had our high school visitation event, Vocatio, at the beginning of the summer, which was well attended and well received, and we're hoping to build on that. If you're a high school youth, or you know of a high school youth that could one day be a great pastor or deaconess, or would just be interested in exploring the meaning of vocation for them in lives, send them our way. It will be towards the end of June next year, and exact dates and schedule will be coming out soon.
Yeah, and the other big thing that we just got done with is orientation week. It's probably for us in the enrollment team, it's probably the most busy week of the entire year. But it was a ton of fun. We have, I think, 116, 118 students that started this academic year in all the different programs. And one of the biggest excitements of this orientation was that we have a new president, and we interviewed him on the last episode, just our very last episode of season one. But now he's official. He's been installed. He's been inaugurated. We had an inaugural dinner to celebrate him. Lots of people from all over the church came. So that was really exciting. And it was what was also really good to have was our student body was all back on campus. Last year or the year prior, we did orientation really via distance because of COVID. And to have everybody back and to have people in the chapel, of course, we were being careful, wearing masks and such. But the human community was just really, really awesome. From people from all over the country came mentors and our distant students and people from literally all over the world. International students come from all over the world, and to all be on campus last week was really, really extraordinary.
Yeah, for me, orientation was a couple things. For one, a worker in our department helping what minimal help I was able to offer at the time, just because my job doesn't really focus around campus that much. Mine is a much more outward focusing position. But taking part in leading service project groups and things like that. But I'm also starting graduate school. I've started graduate school officially. Right. And so here at Concordia. And so I had to be in certain sessions for that to gain some information that wouldn't have been so relevant during the MDiv, but is much more relevant now that I'm a graduate student. And then a couple of things stuck out to me, especially during the installation inauguration of President Egger. One is something that we could know, but just I want to highlight the fact that both of our seminaries were established before the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So our seminaries, where we train our pastors and now deaconesses, predates the formation of our synod and our life together that way, which A, highlights the importance of what we do here and the importance of the people who go out into the world as professional preachers and deaconesses to continue to bring the good word of God's word out into people in the world and the church, both vitally important. But something that just kept sticking in my ear that just is remarkable, that our institution, we're starting our 183rd academic year.
Yeah.
Dr. Egger is the 11th president.
Right? I was doing that math being like, holy cow, these people have been some of them served for a very, very long time.
Well, Walther was decades, but yeah. that's an average yeah. of 18 years per presidency, yeah. Which again, I think speaks to the institution and how we, you know, prop up our leaders and hold them up and help them accomplish what they need to do for the sake of what happens here. But it also says a lot about the leaders of the church and their dedication
yeah.
To seeing this place continue to be successful. And I have zero doubt in my mind that Tom Egger's presidency will reflect the history of this institution and also take us in a wonderful direction moving forward in what Concordia Seminary will be under his presidency.
Yeah, he's starting out his first academic year. We always have a theme for every academic year. It's basically a Bible verse that we choose to help us to kind of focus our thoughts and focus our devotions on campus. And so Dr. Egger chose Psalm 119:105, kind of a well-known verse. And this is from ESV, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And Dr. Egger is an Old Testament prof. So of course he's going to pick from the Old Testament. Of course he's going to pick a psalm. He loves all the scriptures, though, and that really came through in President Egger's inaugural address. An inaugural address is kind of an opportunity for a new president to lay out kind of a vision for what he wants Concordia Seminary to be under his presidency, kind of key themes. So what were some of the things that you heard in that inaugural address?
You know, for me, and if you ever have an opportunity to sit down with Dr. Egger, which is a good thing because it shows how genuine he is and what he says on a day-to-day basis. But if you ever hear him sit down and talk about a story about his time in the parish, he'll always talk about the people he served and their love for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if he's talking about somebody, there's a story of after he first moved into house number one, strangely, in the morning one day, a stranger came to his door, and because they knew what our institution was, wanted to talk to him about his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's how he addresses Jesus, our Lord and our God. But what my point is that when he's doing something and when he's talking about a story, everything he says and everything that he does and imitates is around Jesus.
Yeah.
And that was it resonated throughout his inaugural address. It resonates in everything that he said. I can't remember a time where I've heard him speak, especially from a podium, without centering everything around the cross. Which again, in a place where you're training people to become pastors and deaconesses for the sake of the church, nothing is more important than the person that this is all really about, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, it just really, again, like you said, the inaugural address opportunity to set the tone and vision for this is what my presidency is going to be about. And the fact that it focused so heavily around that, not about important things like finance and operations and all these other things that make the wheels turn. That sure. They're definitely important. And without those things, I guess we could do what we do. We might be less inclined, to
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, that phrase just kept repeating itself, and it really hit home for me.
Yeah, the other thing that came through really to me was this an a theme that we heard over and over again, which was centered in the scriptures, right? So Jesus says in John 5:39, you think that you have life because you're searching the scriptures, but these are scriptures that testify about me, right? So it's all about Jesus, and where do we learn about Jesus? It's from the scriptures, and both the Old Testament and the New Testament all point to Christ. So President Egger is an Old Testament professor. He teaches the Bible, and he made it really clear that our life really will center around the scriptures. And I think he wants to make sure that in the curriculum of all of our programs at the seminary, that the scriptures are kind of the bedrock foundation of everything that we do, everything that we teach. And I love that. I mean, as I try to spend a few minutes every morning in the scriptures. I've challenged myself to read through the Bible again this year, and you know, I think that's just been part of my Christian life, is being immersed in the scriptures. So that is part of where we work and what we teach our students. They can come here and know that they're not getting second-rate people who just like to talk about the Bible. They're getting professors that love the Word of God, are well-trained in the Word of God, are studying the Scriptures in their original languages. We had guys here over the summer doing summer Greek, and now...
And Hebrew.
And now Hebrew, yep. And so that's just a essential part of our curriculum here at the seminary.
And even for our listeners, I want to encourage a couple things. And one is that study Bibles are good because they take some of the heavy academia out of a commentary and put it in footnotes in a study Bible for somebody who's not looking to be splashed in the face with the fire hose of academic work looking back. Not to say that, obviously, we don't think anything is wrong with that. We love it. But for the average reader, it's like, oh, what does this verse mean? And if you have a nice commentary Bible, there will be some digestion of the verse and application. But one thing that I was encouraged to purchase, well, that I was required to purchase for one class, was a journaling Bible that has intentional margins for notes. And I would encourage that. And mine, you can probably get the one I have on Amazon for $25. Has a reading plan in the back, so it's Old Testament passages, Psalm, and then a New Testament passage. And I think by the time you've read the Old Testament, you've probably read the New Testament twice, maybe even the Psalter twice. But it's all good. That way, you know, you don't skip Leviticus and Numbers or Chronicles, right. And you bite off palatable chunks on a day-to-day basis, so you do actually read all the Scripture, because in the midst of Leviticus and Chronicles, there's actually some fairly remarkable passages that are very eye-opening. And then also, I typically try to use pencil, but I love when I've used pen and I can go back and I can't scratch out some of the dumb notes that I've made in the past, just so you can see how much you've grown in your faith.
Yeah, exactly. We actually just got our son a journaling Bible for confirmation. He got confirmed this past May, so we got him a journaling Bible. We also, we buy every student that comes into the Masters of Divinity program, they get a journaling Bible from the Seminary Guild, a group of ladies that love the seminary and give to the seminary generously. So every student gets a journaling Bible, and it's because we, of course, they're going to get the content of the scriptures, the what was the, you know, historical context, and what's the Greek verb, and what's the doctrine that this passage might be teaching. But we also want students to be able to connect with the scriptures personally and kind of be able to look at that, kind of like you were saying, be able to look at old notes that you put. And we all have those, right? Readers, if you're not writing in a Bible, I'd highly encourage it. Don't write in the pew Bible at church, but find yourself a Bible that you can write in and start taking some notes. I love that. My Lutheran study Bible is just filled with notes, and some of them are content related, and some of them are kind of like, oh, I get it now. And some of them are like, this passage really meant a lot to me on this at this particular time in my life.
Yep. Well, now, and I often find I write a lot of questions. And sometimes if you continue reading the book that you're on target for the day, some of those questions get answered. Yeah. And then I'll write verses to correlate to questions. And every once in a while I'll be reading a passage and I'll see a verse I wrote down. I'm like, why did I write this verse? And you go back and you look, oh, that's why. So yeah, it's just a good practice. And it just gets you more engaged in God's word on a day-to-day basis. As you were talking, the other thing I wanted to talk about, and then encourage people at home to actually take this to heart. One other thing that Dr. Egger really highlighted in his inaugural speech was community.
Yeah.
Concordia Seminary, we're blessed here. You could take our campus, especially the main body of it, you could lift it up, you can place it in all of the prestigious academic settings of the world. And from a visual aspect, our campus goes. There's a lot of work that goes into our grounds, maintenance of our buildings, the faithful people who built the campus. Back in the beginning of the 20th century, yeah, end of the 19th century. Yeah, there we go. And their dedication, just a bunch of good old German carpenters and masoners getting together and throwing this thing together. But then, of course, it's not just buildings, right? It's the people here. And so there's dorm rooms, there's the faculty housing, there's the woods, the married community back there, but then also with the commuters and all the different events that we have here beyond classes where we all come together and just celebrate our life together as fellow students and faculty members. But just as the body of Christ, I mean, Paul talks about the body of Christ very often with a lot of intention. But it's one of those things where, like, you know, I like to say it this way, you know, you can't ignore something that's going wrong with your body. You can try to for a while. There are times I've got this little thing catching in my knee. And from past experience, I have a feeling that it's my meniscus that might need to be clipped. I don't like surgery. I'll just put it that way. And so I'm waiting until it's unbearable, until I do something about it. And if you're a doctor and you're listening to me right now, don't email me. It's not going to change anything. But that's the thing. Like, we are a community. We are the body of Christ. And once you get to know each other, and people let off cues, and those things are noticeable. In my first year, there were a couple moments where I was really struggling with a couple of things, not class-wise, just life-wise. And professors could pick up on that, and they stopped me in the quad, and they didn't corner me. They just simply asked. They noticed things weren't right, and they asked if I would be willing to talk about it. And then, you know, that invitation is remarkable. Yeah. I've experienced being the inviter as a pastor and giving somebody liberty to talk about their life, ups and downs, is such an incredible thing. And that's a deep part of our community. So, you know, if you're listening at home, life is tough. We're all busy, but definitely embrace and delight in the fact that you have this massive body of Christ that has transcended time and space, that has confessed their faith together for millennia now, that, you know, as we're sitting here recording this podcast, for your listening enjoyment, that we are indeed here for you, and your other brothers and sisters in Christ, closer to you, are there for you as well.
And we mean that actually literally, listeners. One of the great highlights of this summer was somebody that had been a listener of season one on the podcast, finished through listening to the entire season, then emails us, the two of us, and kind of talks to us like we're celebrities, right? And is like, wants to meet us. And it was such an honor to talk with him and to hear his story. He had a really moving story, but I think that there's some Christian community that's had in this podcast, and as our listenership continues to grow, we mean really seriously that we would love to be in touch with you, because we're not celebrities. We're just two guys working at the seminary, and We love theology. We love our Lord. We love Concordia Seminary. And the intersection of all those things is just a ton of fun. So, yeah, definitely community featured well in President Eggers' address. You know, another thing that I really enjoyed during the day of President Eggers' inauguration was in one of the sermons that we heard, the preacher said that, you know, growing up or maybe I guess when he was a new pastor, he thought that these pastors that assign people confirmation verses were like kind of geniuses, that they must really know their confirmands well, because it was kind of striking how similar the confirmation verse was to the person. And then he reflected and said, but maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the pastor, in all of his great wisdom, of course, he said, but maybe what's really going on is we get a confirmation verse assigned to us, and that word of God and that particular word begins to form us and mold us and shape us in really unique and interesting ways. And I was just intrigued by that idea, and it really, I thought, did a nice job of kind of helping us to reflect on this theme. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Literally, my confirmation verse has meant a lot to me. So to be fair, I did ask Micah what his confirmation verse was ahead of time so that we're ready for this conversation. Nothing worse than being asked your confirmation verse and then saying, oh, shoot, what was that? And Micah didn't. He knew it right off the bat. But so here's mine. It's Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And that's the ESV. I learned it as every word of God is flawless. You know, as I reflect on things, I ended up doing a PhD in New Testament, and particularly in textual criticism, where I was constantly thinking about the text, the word of God. I really came to deeply appreciate each and every individual word of God. I don't think that that's exactly what this verse means, that like each and every jot and tittle, but everything that God has said proves true.
Yeah.
And that's true from the smallest details to the largest concepts. And it's been fun studying every word of God and studying the word of God and its particularities. And it's been a shield. It is a place where I take refuge.
Well, not only is it true and flawless, especially in the verses that we all have memorized that are kind of well known, but also in the words that are challenging.
Yeah.
Challenging in the context when they were taking place, where the Exodus story, when they're conquering Canaan and the Promised Land, I mean, there's a certain amount of ruthlessness to it. And, you know, if you just try to look at it as it is without trying to understand it, that's how people try to come up with a mean and terrible Old Testament God. But if you focus on the purpose of what is being accomplished there, it's actually for the sake of all of us.
Well, and I especially love that the verse in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, that every promise of God is yes in Christ.
Right.
So that's definitely the way that I would tend to interpret my confirmation verses, that every word of God is pointing to, back to what I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, John 5:39, every word of God points to Christ.
Right.
And has proven true in Christ. I spent a lot of time studying early church fathers and how they read the scriptures, and they are constantly pointing every verse and every promise of the scriptures back to Jesus and to what he's done for us. And in Jesus, God has spoken, God has revealed himself. And so that's where we take shield and refuge and comfort. So that's my confirmation verse. I kind of agree with the preacher that I think the verse has actually kind of molded and shaped me. So how about for you? What's your confirmation verse, and how is it shaped or molded you?
Yeah, so mine is John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So that it's not talking about me, first and foremost. That's Jesus' words talking about himself being the light of the world. Listeners, don't follow me. Follow Jesus. but it's
good clarification.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Anyway. So it's interesting. So when I was being confirmed, my pastor didn't actually choose my confirmation verses. We had a list of ones, and everybody was kind of given some liberty to choose. And just what the thing is, like, only so many people can have each one, because everybody wants to be strong and courageous from Joshua, right? At some point. And so I remember going through them, and my mom picked my confirmation verse. Mm. And every church congregation has its own tradition, but we had to write a paper based upon that verse and then read it to the class and all of our parents. And, you know, it's true then. I might be a little more articulate about it now as opposed to when I was 13, but essentially it was just, you know, life is difficult, and if I always follow Jesus, no matter how difficult life gets in the present, that I have a bright future.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is the light of the world, right? And that, you know, when we're talking about darkness, especially from a John perspective, I think, you know, he's talking about ultimate darkness, the absence of God, the absence of light, aka eternal death. And, you know, we've talked about our past ministry, which includes parts of our past life, and I'm not an exception to a common modern thing that happens where young people struggle with congregational identity. Where do I now fit as in a congregation, because I'm no longer a youth, but I'm also no longer an adult or a couple. And some congregations are blessed to have young adult ministry. And at the time, mine didn't. That's irrelevant now today. But at the time, you know, just trying to struggle to find that congregational identity, being kind of out in the world, not totally active in my faith insofar as going to church on a regular basis. You know, that light of the gospel that was sprinkled over me in my baptism, that was spoken to me for at least 18 years of my life regularly, did not let go. That light would not unshine on my life, even in my darkest moments, where, you know, when I stopped going to college for a couple of years, and like, even just not just purpose in my congregation, but purpose in life was a struggle. Like, what am I supposed to do? But, and then lo and behold, that light, it called me into ministry. And as a pastor, it's one of those things, just like Dr. Egger says, you know, sitting by somebody whose grandson is overdosed, or somebody's sister who's in the hospital, who's struggled with their faith, and their sisters ask you to go visit them because they're worried about their eternity. That in the midst of the conversation, while they're struggling with life, while they're trying to rationalize the evil things that happen in the world and why, that we still have this light, Jesus, and that nothing I can say is going to fix this scenario, but I can point you to him and his promises for the world. And that's what you should grab onto, and that's what you should hold on to for the person who's suffering, and that's what you should hold on to yourself. And so that, I mean, my mom gave me a layup in a verse.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's so universally applicable to every Christian in the world, but that's how it played out for me in my life. Even now, you know, life still isn't perfect.
Yeah.
There are good days, there are bad days. And, you know, when I get out my journaling Bible in the morning after Dorothy and the kids have left and it's a little quieter, and I, you know, I take my moment for personal devotion, that light shines through every word.
Yeah, and there's beautiful gospel in that. I was just sharing with a close family member today that, you know, we don't always remember God. Maybe, you know, we have days where we miss our devotions. maybe days, weeks, months, years where we wander far away from God, but he never stops shining that light. And he's always calling us back to himself and doing everything in our lives to bring us back to that, back to the, to himself, and back to shine that light, even in some dark places. And it's not anything that we have to, you know, keep up or control or do. That's just who our God is. He loves us that much that he just can't, he can't let us alone.
No. And even for the person you're worried about who seems far away from God, he's while they're, again, maybe far away from the church and participating, just remember that God is in all and through all, and that the creator of all things isn't far away from the people who are lost. And you never know what moment, what thing could either bring them back or bring them in. And so, again, just continue to hold on to that light. I don't know about you. I'm not a believer in coincidences. Things do happen by chance every once in a while. But in times like this, especially in conversations like this, coincidences, it's just not possible. But, you know, your confirmation verse really focused on word. My confirmation verse focused on the word, but, you know, light was a theme. And then we have this theme for our academic year. And the fact that you did just ask me, like, moments before we hit record and started playing, so you had no idea what my confirmation verse was.
No, that's right.
But nonetheless,
yep.
We have a theme for this academic year, and it is...
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's pretty cool. It brings my confirmation verse about the word together with yours about the light. President Eger must be a genius, and he picked that verse out because of Ben and Micah. Probably not, actually.
When you hear people talk about Dr. Eger as an academic, he could very well be a genius.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, it's just one of those things, though. Like, yeah, not coincidence. I mean, it is, again, I wasn't expecting your confirmation verse to be that. You weren't expecting my confirmation to be what it was. We were intending on talking about the theme. But, you know, it's such a, scripturally, words and light,
yeah,
just happen often. And it's such a focal point. You know, when God was creating all things, he separated light from darkness, and then he ordered that light into things to provide light. And then from a biological standpoint, from a practical standpoint, and from a comfort standpoint, light is so integral to the human experience. Whether you believe in Jesus or in God or not, it's just inescapable.
Yeah,
we need it.
We have to have it. Have to have it for life. So listeners, if you have not returned to your confirmation verse, or if you don't have a confirmation verse, we'll give you one. Reach out to us and we'll give you a confirmation
happily.
Verse. You probably have a confirmation verse though, but this might be an opportunity to return to it and to spend a little time digging around in it. What does it mean? And what has it meant, and what might it mean in the future, or at least for today? So maybe some homework for you. Hey, switching subjects, we want to talk a little bit about another thing that we worked on just for a few minutes here toward the end of this episode, and that's this this little resource called Drop Your Nets and Follow Me, Raising Up the Next Generation of Church Workers, and by Reverend Micah Glenn. Micah, tell us a little bit about this resource and why you wrote it and what it's for.
Sure. So one of the things, it's a matter of practicality. You accept a job, and that job comes with responsibilities. And one of the responsibilities was coming up with something to get in the hands of people outside of Concordia Seminary in the grander church body at large, to begin thinking about this, because we have a nice class coming in academically and in our formation programs. But the truth is there will never be a day where we have enough pastors, if that makes sense. And if we start training more people than we have congregations in the LCMS, that means we just have more people to go and start new congregations and to continue to take the word out into places where it isn't currently being preached. Because, you know, there's studies about American Christianity and its decline and things like that, and all of the different causes and things like that. But one of the things that happens is simply that, again, we'll never have enough pastors and deaconesses for the church. And so that's kind of the heart of my job, is just to look out at who we are as a church body and look at who isn't currently a student in Concordia Seminary, and encouraging you listeners, but also helping you encourage the people around you to think, well, what would make a good pastor? Which is an interesting question, because again, Ben and I have shared our stories. One thing we plan to do a little bit more in this season is ask our guest how they became a pastor or a deaconess, or what their path was like. And so you can hear that none of us really have the same story. There's common themes in some stories, but nonetheless, we're all going to come from a radically different place. We're going to come from different families. We're going to come from different backgrounds and experiences, and all of that can help you become, not become, but help you in ministry one day. So if you're sitting at home and thinking, well, you know, I'm a wretched sinner, I could never be a pastor, well, I'm here to tell you, I'm a wretched sinner, and I am a pastor. And so that's one of those things. And in fact, drop your nets. I wanted to highlight Jesus calling his disciples specifically in Matthew's account. If you do all the accounts at one time, it would take too long to read. I wanted to create something that people would actually pick up and read, hopefully. And so if you look at the people he called, Peter and Andrew, John and James specifically, those guys are fishermen. And no offense to any fishermen out there, but especially in the first century, you're not talking about academics. You're not talking about scholars. You're talking about hard laborers that could make a decent living, but they weren't at the top of the economic scale. They weren't at the top of the social scale. I mean, who really knew Peter and Andrew before Jesus called them to be disciples? Then you go forward to Matthew, a tax collector, one of the most reviled people in society, probably abused his position. Nothing against Matthew. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he was an honest tax collector, but you would think if he was, they would have made an exception to highlight that in the gospel accounts. Fast forward to Paul, who was once called Saul, a literal persecutor of the church, who hated Jesus, who hated Christians, and then became the best missionary in human history after Jesus called him, and is responsible for books in scripture, that inspiration, but also churches throughout the world. And so that was kind of like the heart behind it. And so like this podcast, like Drop Your Nets, we're going to be trying to continue to resource the church and how they can participate with us, and looking around your congregation and saying, hey, this young 8-year-old kid has a deep heart and empathy for his classmates. Maybe one day he could be a pastor. And if you're seeing that in a young person in your congregation, you should tell him now today and begin to plant that seed. Or maybe they're in eighth grade and you notice that they have an affinity towards scripture and they're always looking at it and asking questions. And maybe they could be a pastor or a deaconess someday. You should tell them today and plant that seed now. Or maybe there's an elder in your congregation, and by being an elder, he's grown in all these different ways, and he's growing in his care for people in your congregation. And you think, well, you know, you do XYZ job now. Maybe you should consider church work as a profession. Well, tell them today, while it's fresh on your brain and while it could have an impact on your life. And maybe it takes a couple years for that seed to grow. But you should do it, because I'm one recruiter. I know and have a great relationship with the other recruiter at the seminary, and we're two people in two very specific geographical locations. And simply put, I can't do it by myself, and our department couldn't do it all alone. That this is an endeavor for the church at large, and we deeply would love to have you participate in this with us and identify people for us to reach out, and maybe they don't know about Concordia Seminary and what we do here. But you know, you tell them, they reach out to us, and then we tell them, and then, you know, through conversation, maybe it's for them, maybe it's not, but that's kind of how it starts. And that's kind of the method and the heart that went into Drop Your Nets and Follow Me.
I love it. I had a vision for what I hoped the resource would be. I think even before you came on the team, and it was, on the one hand, this practical resource that would actually help, people in congregations and people thinking about ministry to have conversations about, oh, maybe somebody that I know should become a pastor. So on the one hand, really practical. On the other hand, I wanted it to have some meat and potatoes. And I love that you picked Matthew and chose just one narrative from the New Testament rather than trying to kind of quote all of them. And there's great genius to that, because that reflects actually the way we read the Bible here at Concordia Seminary, which is to say, yes, we believe that all Scripture interprets Scripture, but too often in the church, I think we go cherry picking for our favorite verses rather than just sitting with one text and really letting that one text interpret itself. I love that comes through really nicely in this resource, because you're an exegete, you're a Bible scholar and a Bible lover, and so it just naturally kind of comes through in the resource. So, all right, so some action items. So listeners, if you want a copy of Drop Your Nets and Follow Me and you've not seen one out in the wild, we sent them out to every congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, so your pastor might have a copy. But if you don't, you can go to our website, www.csl.edu, and you can just search for Drop Your Nets, and you'll find a PDF there. Or if you write to me or to Pastor Glenn and ask us for a copy of this, we'd love to send you out a couple of copies, hard copies, at no charge, of course. Glenn M, GLENNM at csl.edu, or HauptB, HauptB at csl.edu. We would love to send one of those out to you. So, thanks, Micah. This has been a lot of fun. It's been a great first episode to get us back into the podcasting. We have lots of special guests that are coming up this year, and we have we're going to take a look at some new books of Scripture and talk about some books that our faculty colleagues are writing. It should be an exciting season. So looking forward to getting this season off to a fresh start.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. If you guys couldn't tell, we really love to talk about theology and Concordia, and we really are passionate about making this place available to the people who might be exploring a life in this direction. So Ben gave you our emails. Feel free to reach out to us. And be on the lookout for another episode next week. Have a blessed rest of your day.